Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, if we just step back, the last couple weeks, really this whole month of November, has been quite volatile for the markets based on some economic data. Last week, it was all about the inflation data. 2 weeks ago, all about that Fed meeting. And I think it was kind of surprising for some people to see the lack of volatility right when the Fed meeting and statement came out. But on the back end of that meeting, the follow-up couple trading days, and then into last week, we did start to see some much stronger trends. Markets were moving a lot more than they were for a lot of this year, when it really was just a general melt-up in U.S. equity markets and kind of fade in a lot of the safe haven plays. What do you think, Ed? Are we in for maybe a slower week this week, or even through the rest of this month of November? Maybe a little less volatility back to that environment we saw for the first bit of this year?
I think that could be the case. And I think right now what's completely, you know, driving the market is everything with inflation and the labor market recovery. And you know, given, you know, the recent wave of inflation reports, corporate earning updates from CEOs, it just seems that we're getting more, you know, surprises to the upside with pricing pressures. And the Fed is, they're sticking to their, we're going to be data dependent. And right now you're seeing that the market is trying to price in, you know, the likelihood of more interest rate hikes. And I think you're seeing that there is this big divide that, well, you know, will the Fed be, you know, raising rates too quickly, where that eventually does harm to the economy because they've been so slow. So I think that's kind of why you're seeing a lot of the, you know, investors, they're really kind of struggling to kind of, you know, remain completely optimistic for you know, the U.S. stock market and the U.S. dollar. So I think you're seeing a lot more confusion as far as, well, you know, how, you know, will inflation ultimately derail, you know, the very strong growth outlook for 2022. And it seems that, you know, that there is a growing risk that could be the case.
Well, Ed, it does seem like the inflation news coming in a little hotter last week caused some people to have a moment of pause, like, could this be a wrench in the gears down the road? But it looks like we've seen a little bit of a move into some of the safe havens. You know, gold's gotten a bit, and you mentioned the dollar's up a little bit. Do you think there's a little trepidation there, and that's why people have gone a little more risk off? Or do you expect that to be short-lived and get the party started again here in a week or two?
Well, I think right now you're seeing there's a, you know, just rewind a couple weeks ago, and we were talking also about, you know, some slowdown in China. And over the weekend, we had some very impressive retail and industrial production data. And I think you're going to see that as the global economic recovery looks to be a little bit brighter, that should ultimately fuel, a strong, you know, 2022, and also some relief in those supply shortages that we're seeing. I think these supply chain issues have not alleviated. They've, you know, they're lasting a lot longer than most people anticipated. And if you don't see, you know, these pricing pressures ease, you know, by the end of the first quarter, then I think you'll see that, you know, the Fed will concede and say that they were wrong, and you'll probably see them taper a lot faster. So I think there's a lot of reasons that, you know, a lot of people are just waiting to see, is the Fed going to be forced to taper quickly and deliver a rate hike a lot sooner than they were possibly ready to do so. And that is ultimately going to, I think, dictate how we react. I think, the market is starting to, you know, price in, okay, we're at, you know, peak monetary support. Biden has done his last major act. I think the human infrastructure package is unlikely to yield much of a result here, you're probably going to have investors still, you know, grapple with, well, where do I invest? Where is the best opportunities? And right now, you know, you're probably going to have a very difficult environment early next year as you start to see things be fairly elevated in the first half of the year for the U.S. and then it'll you know start to drop off a lot quickly and it'll be tough to see if the U.S. recovery starts to lose momentum and right when the Fed is supposed to raise rates and that's why you're not having the you know all of Wall Street you know be in line and anticipating you're going to have rate hikes in next year and possibly you might have to wait until 2023. So there's a lot up in the air. And that uncertainty is why you're not seeing a major sell off in stocks, but you're not really you know extending much higher. And I think we could be in for a little bit of a choppy period. And when December comes, then you'll probably see some strong waves of profit taking and possibly people pricing in more of a growing policy risk mistake from the Fed. And that's where you know you could see some you know significant moves here. So a lot to be determined, but I think we're still you know trading from inflation report to inflation report and also the labor market recovery. We need to see that participation rate increase. If it doesn't, then that will likely keep the Fed you know remaining steady with no urgency to raise rates.
Okay, Ed, let's expand on that a little bit because, look, it is flat out a guessing game as to what the Fed is going to do, what the Fed is going to be able to do in terms of rate hikes, maybe next year, maybe the following year, when, again, it's a full-on guess right now because it is a moving target, but in terms of what moves that target, is it simply the data? Is it inflation data? Is it job numbers? Or is it actually the way the market moves? Because if the market goes through a big correction, even before they taper, then the assumption is that they're not going to taper, obviously. They're not going to taper in a crashing market. What do you think matters the most as we move into next year than when it comes simply to the Fed's decision as to when to hike rates?
Well, I think you know the biggest risk right now for the market is it is all about you know inflation, and I think that the risks are extremely elevated now that the Fed you know has you know they're you know just announced they're going to start tapering, and the decision to do the taper in November was pretty significant. It shows that there is some nervousness. They could have waited to December, but they didn't, and I think that. You know, the movement in real yields, you know, is a reflection of growth expectations. And I think that you're going to probably see that, a faster rate hike cycle, I think the Fed is only, when they do liftoff, I think you're only going to see a couple or a few rate hikes, and then they're going to be, pretty much stuck. And I think that you're going to see that will eventually, hurt the economy. And right now, they're kind of locked in right now, I think, with they're going to have to get rid of this stimulus. And I think the problem is that you're eventually going to see that this is going to greatly impact like the junk bond market. And I think as we have these new, as you start to see those yields, kind of reset right now, they're averaging about around 4.5%. I think that you're going to have, there is going to be big portion of Wall Street that is going to say, well, financial conditions, like once that starts to go south, you're going to see that trigger some risk aversion. So I think for the Fed and for the bull case, I think the best case scenario is that you start to see the Fed was right that inflation, large parts of it was transitory, that they are right that you're going to see it peak in the next couple of months and that it'll start to trend lower in January or February. And then if that happens, then you're going to probably see that because the growth outlook is so strong and because the inflationary fears are somewhat easing, then you'll be able to have an uninterrupted move, I think, much higher for equities. But I think that if the inflation story is strong, I think we're still in for another month or two of hotter, possibly hotter reports. So I think then you need to start to see signs fairly soon that it's easing. And right now we're not. And I think that's one of the biggest things we have to, remind ourselves of. And it's not just for the U.S. too. You have to look at it globally. And I think that even, when you focus on some of these pricing drivers, even taking a look at, today's, Baltic Dry Bulk Index, that is down dramatically since where we were 6 weeks ago. So I think these supply chain issues, the port issues, they're in some parts they're improving. In LA, yes, there has been some progress, but I think you're not seeing this broad improvement globally. So I think the pricing pressures are they're going to right now they're broad, and they're a lot stronger than the Fed anticipated. So I think you're going to have a lot more pricing pressures be the theme, I think, over these next few months. And depending on how that impacts the treasury markets, that will really dictate, I think, where we see the dollar go and risky assets.
Yeah, there's definitely some news that we're going to have to keep our eye on as far as inflation goes, because there's elements that are going to be transitory and get resolved with the supply chain. But there's also a lot that are have nothing to do with supply chain issues, like rents being up 16% year over year, or services up 4 to 6%. A lot of food costs that have nothing to do with supply chain issues are up. So there's some stickier parts of inflation. We'll have to see where it all settles and what the policy is. But it was interesting to see the reaction last week at where the dollar went up on higher inflation and bonds got a bid, and the rates actually plummeted on the 10-year for a while for the first couple of days. They've now since turned around, and there was kind of a weak bond auction last week, and now rates are heading back higher again. But in addition to possibly some people going to the safe haven of the dollar during an unsettling time, we were talking off mic, and you mentioned you thought a lot of it was due to the euro weakness, and with the euro being down, that was driving some of the dollar strength. Do you have any thoughts in that regard as far as the action in the dollar and how that ties into the economic picture in Europe?
Yeah. So the I think a lot of people and a lot of Wall Street was really anticipating that. Okay, everyone knows the U.S. growth exceptionalism story that we've had for much of this year, and Europe never had that. And the growth potential for Europe has been the trade that everyone was waiting to unfold. And the problem is that Europe is still battling COVID, and yes, there's strong reasons to be optimistic that they're on the other side of the COVID fence, but you're still seeing Germany, Austria contemplate more restrictions for the unvaccinated. You're having cases rise in Italy, and there's not this high confidence that you're really going to see things completely reopen and kind of go back to normal. In addition to that, you have a French presidential election in April, where I think everyone still anticipates that Macron is going to do well, but I think there is a growing risk that if we see the far right win, that we could see that be an existential risk for the euro. And I think you have still and over this next few months high risks for the eurozone, and I think that you're still not reaching a clear agreement on Brexit with the UK, and I think that the transit issues remain extremely elevated. So I think that the eurozone is a tough trade right now. And I think as far as their growth outlook, as we debate rate hikes for the Fed, no one is saying that the ECB is going to move next year. I think that there's a lot more short term risks to their growth outlook, which has driven some flows to the dollar. So I think you really need things to look a lot more brighter for Europe. And right now, it just seems that that trade is getting closer, but it's not there yet. And I think that you're going to have there's going to be an extraordinary amount of patience to move. And even Lagarde has really kind of nailed that point home that a rate hike next year is very unlikely.
All right, Ed, there's really a lot still going on in these markets, right? But we have seen this general slowdown in maybe the risk-on assets, a bit more of a shift towards the risk-off assets, and that has happened a lot this month after the Fed statement. You can make the argument that it started happening a couple months ago, but really the moves in the last week and a half of a couple at least short-term breakouts, I think, have drawn a little bit more attention to those safer haven bets. If we take a step back and look big picture at the market, then do you think that's the right strategy as we move into next year, is being a little bit more defensive? Or have you at least seen more money managers becoming a bit more defensive in some of their positioning?
I definitely have noticed that there is less wide permeable mentality out there. I think that the inflation debate is yielding for many a prediction that the Fed is going to be forced to tighten a lot quickly, and that's going to wreak havoc for the economic recovery down the road. And I think that the market has seen a lot of these frothy trades kind of blow up, and I think there's definitely a more calculated and just kind of scaling down of some key positions, and I think that you're probably going to see that I think there was this belief that you were going to have mega cap tech really kind of start to lose its spot as far as the favorite trade, and I think that the interest rate yield environment is globally it's looking like it's going to head higher, and I think that this return to valuations, and I think that's going to make life a lot harder. And I think what we're seeing is some of these costs for these big companies they're not going to ease. The wage pressure is going to remain elevated, and you're seeing, I think, a lot more investors now kind of shift more towards the small cap. Russell 2000 has been heavily looked at, and I think that you're going to eventually see everyone really go a little bit more aggressive on that Europe trade because they have the better growth potential. So I think there's still strong reasons to be optimistic for the U.S. stock market and the U.S. recovery. But I think that you're likely to see more investors look abroad. I think that you're probably going to see that if we do see a policy mistake by the Fed, then there are a lot of traders that are looking to get out early on that one. So I think if that speculation grows, whatever dip that yields, I think it could be somewhat significant, 5, 10 percent. But I think there will be people that will be looking to buy into that. So some caution going into the first quarter, but I think that December will be likely, I think, a more volatile month, and you're probably gonna to have some people want to head to the sidelines. And I think there's a lot more interest in inflation hedges, and that's probably why you're going to see equities grind higher, but nowhere near the pace that we've seen over the past few months.
All right, Ed, we'll wrap it up here. Very interesting comments as always, and who knows? We probably will see a bit of a slowdown in some of these moves and volatility over the last couple of weeks. But for at least those invested in safe havens, I know they're hoping that these trends that have been more or less established continue. And those trends are more to the upside because it had been a pretty long year for a lot of those safe haven investors. We'll see where it takes us. Ed, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you.